Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated October 15th through October 22nd, 2020. We'll start with the article headlined Monticello High School Shifting to All Remote Learning This Week by Steve Hoffman, October 18th. Monticello High School students will all learn remotely this week after the district was informed that three students there have tested positive for COVID-19. It is apparent that these cases may lead to multiple close contacts, resulting in a required quarantine of other students. Contact tracing by DeWitt Pyatt Bi-County Health Department is ongoing. In an abundance of caution, while we are awaiting contact tracing to be completed by DeWitt Pyatt Bi-County Health Department, Monticello High School will go to 100% remote learning for the week of October 19th to October 23rd. School Superintendent Vic Zimmerman said in an email to parents. He also encouraged families to stay sheltered as much as possible to reduce the possibility of spreading the virus. While COVID cases are spiking in the area, please reconsider attending social events where multiple individuals may be congregating in groups without maintaining social distancing or without wearing masks, he said. The DeWitt Pyatt Bi-County Health Department reported 16 positive tests of COVID-19 on Thursday and Friday in Pyatt County, including four each in Monticello and White Heath. Between Tuesday and Friday, there were 24 new cases in Pyatt County and 33 in DeWitt County, boosting the number of active cases to 39 in Pyatt and 71 in DeWitt. There are five hospitalized in the Bi-County area, four of them in DeWitt County. Judge Rules Against Interveners in Forgery Case by Steve Hoffman, October 21st. A judge appointed to preside over the forgery and official misconduct case of Pyatt County Board Chairman Ray Spencer has ruled against two interested parties who wanted to intervene. Attorney Jim Ayers, representing County Board Member Renee Freund and former County Board Chairman Randy Keith, told Judge William Yoder on October 21st that a grand jury that indicted Spencer in January has continued to investigate other county board members and officials. He argued that a conflict of interest by the state's attorney's office should allow for interveners, since those parties could also be charged by the grand jury. Ayers noted that Pyatt County Judge Carl Koritz was critical of the state's attorney's office for filing subsequent Open Meetings Act violation charges, and said a special prosecutor should have been appointed before, not after charges were levied. There is a complete pattern in this case, said Ayers, a Monticello attorney. In the open meetings case, the state's attorney's office filed charges, then said, whoops, we have a conflict, added Stephen Willoughby, an attorney for Spencer. But Special Prosecutor Michael Falangario of the Illinois Attorney General's Office countered that the open meetings violation filing is separate and should not be brought in as part of the forgery official misconduct case. The purpose of the state statute has been fulfilled, he said, noting that a special prosecutor is now on the case. He added that the forgery charges came from a grand jury. Our position is they don't have status to intercede, said Falangario. Judge Yoder, a McLean County judge who was assigned to hear the case after the Sixth Circuit judges had recused themselves, agreed, noting that he was hearing only the grand jury charges against Spencer, not the alleged open meetings violations. The alignment of these cases is unusual, Yoder said, but agreed that Freund and Keith were not interested parties in the case against Spencer. Action was not taken on a defense motion to dismiss the grand jury, which has met four additional times since the indictment of Spencer in January. No additional charges have come out of those sessions. Spencer is due back in court December 16th for a status hearing on the forgery case. A trial date has not been set. The forgery charge stems from an email from Pyatt County State's Attorney Dana Rhodes that Spencer allegedly altered and forwarded to a member of the media. The official misconduct charges alleged that he attempted to secure outside legal advice for the Pyatt County Board, which is only allowed with the permission of the sitting state's attorney. The Open Meetings Act violations were filed after a May 13th remote county board meeting, when some members of the public were not able to reconnect after a closed session. Koretz appointed a special prosecutor for that case in July, and in his ruling said, "The court is bewildered as to why a state attorney's office that recognizes its own conflict would choose to file charges before seeking the appointment of a special prosecutor." The special prosecutor was tasked with determining whether to proceed with those charges, but no action has been taken to date. Light Crowd at Evening Meeting of County Board by Steve Hoffman, October 21st. A light agenda and a sparse crowd attended 2020's only in-person evening meeting so far of the Piatt County Board on October 14th. Two 7 p.m. meetings were scheduled for this year, but the first one was remote only due to the pandemic. Mike Nolan, the only audience member present who is not a county employee, was appreciative. "I appreciate you having a night meeting. Hopefully you'll have more of these. Maybe COVID has stopped many people coming in," said Nolan. "I do appreciate it." Finance is still an issue. County Treasurer Debbie Marshall said an influx of real estate taxes has allowed the county to bump its invested funds balance from $160,000 to $700,000 since July, but there were still concerns shown over the county's overall bottom line. Board member Dale Latz pointed out that with most of the property taxes and replacement tax revenues collected for the fiscal year that ends November 30th, this should be a high point for county balances. "From a fiscal standpoint, this should be a high point of the year in the corporate general fund, and our corporate general fund is at a negative $800,000, said Latz. "I just want to make that known." The overall fund balance for the county increased about $1 million from September 1st to October 1st to $2.8 million, mostly due to the receipt of real estate taxes. But the general corporate fund, which pays for a majority of county expenses, is in the red to the tune of $793,055, according to the latest treasurer's report. The fiscal state of the county prompted discussion on whether it could help Piatt County Transportation with a cash flow situation. Piattran Director Jamie Tribum had asked for an emergency appropriation of $100,000 due to lagging state reimbursements, noting the state of Illinois is currently $386,000 behind in payments to the local entity. "We haven't been paid by the state since April," said Tribum, noting the agency has a $60,000 two-month backlog of bills to pay, and that she did not take her salary the last pay period in order to make ends meet. County Finance Manager Linda Leach said that although there isn't $100,000 in any one fund to lend Piattran, there is enough overall in fund balances to help out with its cash flow. Tribum anticipates being able to pay it back by the end of November. Marshall said $64,000 could come out of the working cash fund. "It's a problem, but we do have the money overall," noted County Board Chairman Ray Spencer. "I don't like to do this, but it's just for a short period of time," added Board Member Renee Freund. Shannon Carroll said he was okay with the loan, since the Transportation Committee had recommended it. The board voted 4-1 to approve the emergency appropriation, with Spencer voting no. Mental health update. Mental Health Center Director Tony Kirkman said a soft reopening of the day service program has resulted in getting it up to about 45% capacity since August 1st. He did express concern that being at less than half capacity will reduce significantly. He did note that the state increased some reimbursements by 15% to help bridge some of the gap. He also noted that studies show that alcohol consumption has increased 14% nationwide since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. Kirkman also pointed to a hidden in plain sight video posted by the Impact Coalition. The presentation features a police officer noting signs of substance abuse in a mock bedroom. An interactive 360-degree version is also on the way. "You will have a virtual presence in the room and can scroll around the entire bedroom, and in certain areas where you click on them, there'll be a pop-up that will tell you this is an issue you should be looking for," said Kirkman. So it will be a wonderful prevention tool to offer. Nursing home personnel test clean. Nursing home director Scott Porter said staff there are trying to figure out how to make the holidays special for occupants. How do we accommodate Thanksgiving dinner? Said Porter, noting that group dining has been minimal since lockdowns that started in March. How do we try to incorporate as much family as we can with the rules we've been given? So that's our focus for the next couple of months, trying to bring more contact for the residents, because it has been a long, long summer. In good news, he said the county's new Medicaid rate has increased to $23.19 per day, which should result in about $155,000 more in revenue annually. Porter thanked nursing home financial manager Stephanie Berkey for her work in getting the data ready for the recent reassessment. More properties back on the tax rolls. Board members voted to cancel the certificates for 5 properties in order for deeds to be transferred from the county to new owners, who purchased them at a recent delinquent tax auction. This is a way to get these back on the tax rolls and generate property tax, said Marshall of the annual auction. In other action, the board approved a resolution to allocate $750,000 in motor fuel tax funds for road maintenance. Highway engineer Eric Sebring said he lowered that from $1 million in recent years, but said it should still be plenty to pay for the program. Was told the next meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals will be 7 p.m. Thursday, October 21st. Closed an IDNS checking account that had not been used in several years. The $922.13 balance will be consolidated into a radiological emergency preparedness line item, as recommended by Marshall. Approved a motion to keep closed session minutes closed. And approved an ordinance authorizing the submission of paperwork for cures money for the county. Heating fixes nearly complete at courthouse by Steve Hoffman, October 21st. Progress on cleaning the clogged pipes in a hot water heating system in Piatt County Courthouse continues, with maintenance personnel saying all but 2 areas should be fixed in time for winter. We've been working on clearing the clogged fan coil units on one leg. We have them all clear, which would be about 8 units. County Maintenance Supervisor Doug Winder told the County Board Building and Grounds Committee October 7th. He said one leg of units remains, which includes a room in the state's attorney's office, as well as a county clerk vault room. Winder said it's an extensive enough project that it may need to wait until next spring, since heating season is on the way. The work necessitates draining the system, which can't be done while the heat is running. Cleaning the system has been a lengthy project, necessitated after leaks in 2017 and 2018 soaked insulation, stained ceiling tile and walls, and made for foul odors in some courthouse offices. After complaints including burning eyes and sinus issues from employee, an air quality test was done, which found no major issues. In other work at the courthouse, sections of sidewalk around the historic 1903 structure have been replaced. In addition, the county worked with the city of Monticello, which ran cameras through drains to make sure they were in working order. The camera showed the drain tile was fine. PSB AC overhaul. Committee member Shannon Carroll asked about the new HVAC system at the Public Safety Building, which received an $800,000 overhaul earlier this year. We had a hot August. Is the AC system running flawlessly? Said Carroll. We haven't blown any motors, said Sheriff David Hunt, which evoked chuckles from the committee and others at the meeting. The overhaul replaced the one-circuit system with a two-circuit one, aimed at getting the HVAC back to original specifications. The previous setup was working motors too hard, resulting in several costly compressor replacements. It seems to be keeping up well, said Winder of the new system for the 2003 PSB building. Rec area completed mental health center. The committee was told by Piatt County Mental Health Center Director Tony Kirkman that construction of an outdoor recreation area at the Monticello facility is complete. We've received the final notice for that, so that project is completed. And especially during the current COVID situation, it's been a real blessing to have, as it serves as an outdoor classroom for some of our development therapy consumers, said Kirkman. He said a local Cub Scout den has also begun using the shelter for den meetings in order to meet health protocols. The area includes a 20 by 24 foot shelter with portable seating and a partial basketball court. In other business, the committee heard that staff had been busy with minor fixes at the public safety building, including a parking lot fix that replaced deteriorating asphalt with concrete, something that's being done in sections over time. Other efforts in the last month have included repair of roof caps, replacement of a metering valve, work on the sink in the dispatch room, an oil change on the generator, and replacement of a sprinkler head in the jail. Was told the new fire alarm system is up and running at the Piatt County office building, and heard from Piatt County Transportation Director Jamie Tribaum that flooring was replaced at the Piattran building, and that she had received approval to extend the deadline to use $75,000 in grant funds for a year in case the county decides to add parking at the Mental Health Center Piattran camp. Death notices. Shirley L. Marty died peacefully on October 19th. The family will hold a private memorial service. In lieu of flowers, memorial gifts may be made to the Storybook Project through Lutheran Social Services of Illinois or to Grace Lutheran Church, Champaign. Polar Express canceled for 2020, October 21st. The Monticello Railway Museum has officially announced that this year's Polar Express event has been canceled for 2020. We have updated our website now to reflect that all events, including the Polar Express trains, have been canceled for 2020, the museum said on its Facebook site. We're very sorry about this, but the COVID-19 crisis forced our hand. The only events that we have been able to have is our throttle times, which give the participant a chance to actually operate a locomotive and short train over a reduced distance. Social distancing is still possible with this, since only the engineer is in the cab of the locomotive with the participant. We may expand this event over some of the winter months, so keep following this page for updates, continued the post. Additional information is available at www.myrym.org. Pepsin Hill Development Back to Square One by Steve Hoffman, October 21st. Development Pepsin Hill in Monticello is back to square one after a potential builder has withdrawn. Spencer Atkins had proposed 21 townhouses and 3 commercial and retail structures for the 2-acre site, but met resistance from the public when necessary permits came before the city council in July. Residents were concerned about possible danger of passing grain trucks, along with how the development would fit into downtown. Atkins said at that same meeting that the last thing we want to do as an organization is put safety at risk or harm, and Monticello city staff confirmed on October 13th that he had not met a deadline for further consideration. He has not moved forward. He realizes the temporary development agreement he had with the city on that parcel expired as of the 24th of September, and he's been notified, said City Community Development Director Callie Jo McFarland. McFarland recommended the city stand pat on developing the property for now and instead concentrate on a possible state grant to extend sidewalks and lighting from downtown across Market Street through the site. With the COVID impact, I think it would be a good idea for the city to pursue the grant and see what happens there, and sometime next year reevaluate, she said. I got several requests from developers after the fact asking what was going on. I know for a fact that we have a shortage of commercial space, and know for a fact we would have filled that space. I don't think the needs of the community have changed, but at the end of the day, if he's not comfortable with it, that's fine. We accept that. McFarland recommended reevaluating the property sometime in 2021. The property was the home to the Pepsin Syrup Factory until 1985, and the city used federal and state dollars and loans to clean up the site 20 years later. In other action, the council approved Nick Andrichik as a new volunteer firefighter. approved a low bid of $86,975.25 for Vizu Sewer of Missouri to install cured in-place slip lining into about 2,315 of sewer pipe as part of a long-term upgrade of the city system. Was reminded that trick-or-treat hours are from 5 to 9 p.m. on October 31st, extended since the holiday is on a Saturday this year. Heard from Fire Chief John Rupke that the department responded to 36 calls in September, 28 of which were medical in nature, and announced there would be a budget workshop prior to the October 26 regular council meeting. City may hire fire fundraiser to spur rec project forward by Steve Hoffman, October 21st. The city of Monticello may look to hire a fundraising expert campaign manager to kickstart the 30-acre recreation project on the west edge of town. After purchasing the land in 2009, progress has been limited to some infrastructure work. After coming up with a conceptual design and the necessary permitting to move forward, the city at one point started a multi-year plan to install infrastructure using its own workers, but the city council halted it after being told utilities would have to be run under high-pressure gas lines. Last year, the Monticello Recreation Foundation formed community committees in an attempt to raise the estimated $10 million needed to build the ball fields, walking path, and pond, but that effort also fell short. City Administrator Terry Summers told the council October 13th that it had been difficult for the foundation to meet and strategize during the COVID-19 crisis, and that funds raised were closer to $10,000, not $10 million. He asked older people what they thought about hiring a campaign manager to help the foundation get fundraising going. "It would be someone who obviously has experience," said Summers. "This group, Recreation Foundation, is a group of volunteers. They try to do everything they can, but maybe to a point where a campaign manager of some sort can help direct them, assist them in whatever way, shape, or form they need." Mike Kuhn liked the idea, saying it's important to keep the project in the public eye. "I support the idea of having a campaign manager," he said. "The foundation is not set up to raise $10 million. We need somebody who can spearhead it. I think that we need to get some momentum. We had some momentum and it's completely died out." Rodney Burris countered that excitement is awesome, but it's useless without money, and that it may be difficult to put additional dollars into a city budget proposal for 2021 that's currently in the red. "It's hard to justify that investment when we're projecting over $136,000 in deficit already," added Burris. He asked how Rand Toole is funding a 60-acre recreation project in that community. City Community Development Director Callie Jo McFarland said Rand Toole plans to fund construction with bonds that would be paid off through future revenues, something she called risky for what Monticello wants to accomplish. McFarland added, "The Rand Toole project is aimed more at revenue generating by hosting tournaments, whereas the main goal in Monticello is to take care of local recreation needs. Right now, the city owns only the T-ball fields, so we've got baseball teams that are playing at the land in White Heath and using some other fields," noted Kuhn. "The city also has access to one less field compared to a year ago, since one of the fields previously used at the high school was eliminated in its construction and renovation project." Mary Vogt asked if the city's recreation needs have changed since the current layout was devised several years ago. Summers said that while there's been a draw in some sports from local rec to travel ball, there is still a significant need for rec space locally. He pointed out that junior football gets consistent numbers and soccer continues to be popular. "The idea of changing the rec project layout is an option, one that was discussed at a Recreation Foundation public meeting in August of 2019 to net input on the effort." Wendell Brock thought it might be wise to wait until the COVID-19 pandemic eases before hiring someone to fundraise. "I don't think you're going to get any conscious effort to move forward from the public on this until we're rid of this," said Brock, pointing to the mask he was wearing for safety reasons at the council session. "If this is gone in 6 months, let's go play ball. Let's do all the things we want to do. It's a dream place. Let's go build the dream," he added. This, COVID, is what's screwing up the dream right now. John Frerichs countered that planning could start sooner, since construction is not likely for 2 to 3 years. Alderman Tom Reed also felt it would take some action to get the project going again. "I know we've sat on it for a long time," said Reed. "I think we need to do something with it. If it takes a manager to try to generate funds, let's go." The council directed Summers to gather information on a campaign manager and report back at a future meeting. Streetscape Extension. The council approved a $5,500 contract with Chastain and Associates to prepare an application for a possible Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program grant. The city used a $1.2 million ITEP grant in 2000 for downtown streetscape work, including lighting and sidewalk and curb renovations of about 9 blocks of the downtown business district. Downtown improvement continued after the grant funds were used and has included 6 alleyways being resurfaced, 3 parking lots improved, Nick's Park renovated, 2 site demolitions, 3 remediation projects, and 5 blocks of streetscape expansion. If a new grant is received, the effort will jump to the other side of Market Street along Pepsin Hill, with sidewalks, lighting consistent with downtown, and an extension of the city bicycle path to the North Park Street-West Railroad Street intersection as part of a North Park Street reroute. Cost would be an estimated $500,000 for the streetscape work and $200,000 for the bike path extension. As time goes by, week of October 21st, 2020. October 21st. 100 years ago, 4 of the high schools in Piatt County, Monticello, Bemet, Atwood, and Mansfield, are on the accredited list of the University of Illinois. Graduates from these high schools, meeting the entrance requirements of the college they wish to enter, may be admitted to the University of Illinois without examination. 6 of our country's schools are now provided with chemical closets, as opposed to outhouses, as follows: Blue Ridge, Weisgarver, Center 104, Willow Branch, Camp Creek, and Shady Nook. A large crowd attended the 2nd annual picnic of the Farm Bureau, which was held at Monticello on Thursday, October 14th. The Pig Club show was one of the most interesting features of the day. 36 pigs were in competition. The showing of Poland Chinas being especially large. Grand champion of the show, Birch Morgan, Moraine. The Brotherhood of the Methodist Church will give a country gentleman's banquet in the church parlors this Monday evening. Dr. Chester Smith will be the principal speaker. The tenant farmhouse on the W.H. Kratz farm and occupied by H.D. Pedro was burned to the ground Sunday night at about 10 o'clock. The origin of the blaze is unknown. Mr. Pedro and his family had retired for the night. Mr. Pedro had just moved into the house about 10 days prior to the fire. Compiled by Roger Weisgarver. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. This has been Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated October 18th through October 22nd, 2020. Please stay healthy. I look forward to reading with you again soon.